In this episode of the Smart City podcast, we have part two of my conversation with Bronwyn Voice. Now, part one we covered in the last episode. So we talk about the Future Leaders, Future Cities delegation, Bron's background, as well as we talk a little bit about the sharing economy, a little bit of karaoke in there as well. Now, this episode, we continue our conversation. We started by talking about Hong Kong and the observations that Bron had, and also we dive a little bit deeper into Japan and our observations. Then we also talk about disaster resilience, which both countries are facing in different aspects. And also we talk about future of mobility and emerging trends and how there's lots of challenges that are coming to light with facial recognition technology. So as always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hong Kong's got some really great stuff happening with their Smart City Consortium. They have their construction industry, the construction council have, you know, really, I think, are leading, market leading in terms of the technology that they're adopting to have, you know, smart buildings, smarter planning, smarter developments, smart living, responding to climate change and the environment. So yeah, I saw a lot of that, and went, you know, we had a few meetings and had a few sort of site visits around the place. So, and they've got a phenomenal amount of money to, you know, that they're investing in smart cities. Particularly when you compare it to the Australian context, ours is really just a drop in the ocean. You know, notwithstanding that we're absolutely different scales in terms of economies and population. But they, you know, they are investing a lot of, I think that, you know, given there's that really fundamental, traditional, very kind of, old world industry that happens in Hong Kong, it'll be interesting to see how that they, you know, how they manage to transform, you know, the whole sort of city or island into a smart global hub. But I think they've got the talent, which is really critical. And I think that's where Tokyo or Japan more broadly speaking has some really significant challenges. And, you know, we discussed a lot of that. We had some great speakers at our delegation in Tokyo and
Future Leaders, Future Cities delegation. Yep.
Yeah. You know, talking about the big challenges that they have with a really significant aging population, the amount that the government's investing in social welfare and as one of our speakers put it, you know, investing in the past, as opposed to, you know, investing more in the future and the future generations. So I think that, you know, that talent attraction, talent retention, and keeping, you know, young people interested and engaged in Japan's economy and society is a great challenge for the government.
Yeah, definitely.
And business, I should say, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, business. What I kind of took away was that there's a lot of, yeah, tech focus, but the challenges they face are people challenges. And I think that there's lots that we can collaborate with Australia on that we've kind of a totally different scales, and different kind of, you know, challenges, but similar, you know, kind of issues or things that they're going to face. The aging population, for example. I mean, obviously they're also dealing with decreasing population and how they're going to deal with that. But also that emergency and recovery kind of aspect. Like, I think it was really interesting. I mean, it's by necessity, but that the kind of heart of Tokyo can still stay alive while an earthquake, you know, major earthquake or whatever is happening. Whereas in Australia, I think we've done what we needed to at the time. But with the flooding, for example, in Brisbane, like, you know, like the coverage and network was down, and we just expected that to be the case. Like, you know, that was okay. But I think we could learn from Japan, not obviously in the same context of earthquakes, but other disaster and resilience, I suppose, is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, look, I mean, coming from North Queensland, we've had our fair share of natural disasters. And
yeah, definitely.
You know, I think obviously scale's different when you're dealing with a few million people in the middle of a city versus, you know, a very geographically dispersed population, but that in itself brings its own challenges. And yeah, I think that there are some, you know, some similarities and some things that, you know, that we could share in terms of our disaster recovery. But I think also, you know, Australia is actually quite a leader in that space. I've been to one of the disaster centres up in Darwin, last year, in fact. And, you know, we go and help other countries, particularly emerging and developing, nations and nation states, when they have their disasters. And we have, you know, leading, you know, world leading experts in disaster preparedness and recovery. And I think our communities are becoming more resilient. And we have to, if we're going to continue to experience, you know, tropical cyclones and, you know, flooding and, you know, bushfires, we're not going to ever stop Mother Nature. So we do have to think about that. But again, you know, that comes back to your, you know, the conversation about smart, building things back better, using technology to, you know, to better design roads or drainage systems or, you know, whatever the kind of the infrastructure is that we you know, there, it's all impacted. We can start to think about that in a different light when we think about the smarts of a smart city in disaster preparedness and resilience.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I'm glad to get your perspective on the disaster relief, because I know in the regions, obviously in North Queensland as well with the tropical cyclones, you know, it's incredible what we can do when we band together. But and then to add that smart city layer, how are we going to build it better next time? Or how are we going to build it more resilient next time? How are we going to use the sensors, you know, like before, during and after a disaster or emergency?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome.
And I think just quickly, I just wanted to touch on just around Japan and some of the challenges around their population that we talked on. You know, I've just done some work with a Central West Council in Queensland, and they, you know, they have some of those same challenges. They've got an aging population. They've got less young families living in the region. You know, those are the sorts of issues that they were talking about facing some of the regional areas in Japan. And, you know, thinking, you know, Australia is an iconic tourism destination, as is Japan, for many reasons. And, you know, they've transformed some of their cities by, you know, leveraging the Australian market, in fact, for, you know, snow skiing holidays, etc. So I think there's a lot of, I think, opportunity from an economic development and a regional development for Japan and Australia to connect.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's awesome. So, well, we just touched on that. What are some of the other projects and things that you're currently working on?
So I've been doing a variety of work since joining this consultancy firm, which has been really exciting. The most part, I still get to do what I love doing, which is work with councillors and local governments around Australia, thinking about their own economic development, smart council / digital transformation council, and, you know, smart city strategies, but also working with the private sector and thinking about things like the future of mobility and what that means from a technological telecommunication and, you know, a government policy perspective. So those are a couple. I've been working with a university on a living lab concept to develop a brand new university campus, one of the biggest campus developments in Australia for, I think, almost a couple of decades, and thinking about really how they integrate a living lab in terms of understanding how communities operate and the challenges and what a university, a foundational university, can do for a regional area. So those are just a couple.
Yeah, cool. So I know you've worked in the majority of the different, I mean, like the levels. So you've worked in the government, now you're in a consultancy. I want to hear your thoughts about how we can better integrate across the different disciplines and governments, industries, academia.
The million-dollar question. look, I don't think there's a perfect solution. I think there's a role for leaders and influencers to, you know, to do just that, to step up and lead and bring together people around, you know, dinner tables or coffee tables and boardroom tables, whatever it may be, and have really important discussions. And then also do the same with the community. So I was at an event, in West End / South Brisbane on the weekend, and on stage was a local government councillor, a academic, and an ex, long-term public servant who is now doing some great work in, blockchain. And, you know, for those three people to be sitting in a panel discussion, centered around blockchain, but, you know, talking to the community about some of the opportunities, some of the issues, the challenges from their various kind of somewhat siloed kind of organizations/institutions, but kind of breaking down those barriers and having really good and robust conversations and getting people to think, getting people to engage and, you know, thinking of new ways to bring people along on the journey. I think, you know, those are just kind of the sort of the fundamental things that we need to be doing more. And then the other thing is think about how we do improve our civic engagement from a government perspective. But as well as, you know, as businesses, we need to be, I think, more responsible in terms of our contribution, our impact and our, you know, to society and to, you know, the local economy and just more, you know, broadly the people's lives who we impact by the work that we do and or, you know, who we employ. So, I don't think I've got like a particularly perfect silver bullet answer. It's just all about, I think, responsibility, collaboration, and using, you know, dialogue and data to really understand the real issues and make better decisions.
Yeah. No, I think that's perfect. I like the analogy, well, the real life circumstance, I suppose, of having those people on a panel and all speaking at the same kind of the same kind of level to the community. I think that really, yeah, I guess symbolizes the future of how this kind of smart city integration piece will work. So, that's a great example.
And let's get together on, you know, the big issues that we know are emerging. Like, you know, we talked about all the big opportunities, the potential, you know, how do we want to start, you know, thinking about, autonomous vehicles from a developer's perspective, from, you know, a planner's perspective, from the telco's perspective, from, a vehicle manufacturer's perspective, from a roads and regulation and road infrastructure perspective. You know, are all those people sitting around the table now? And if they are, how are they sharing that information, more broadly with the public and with, you know, the impacted stakeholders about and driving that dialogue and driving, you know, that discourse in our communities. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of place for that, I mean, or more space for that to happen. And I think with, you know, using, you know, the mechanisms that we're all engaging with, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, I don't know, Snapchat, whatever the sort of the going, the going social platform is, you know, using that to engage better with our communities and citizens more broadly about some of the opportunities and the things that we sort of start to think about rather than just seeing something that's, you know, happening over in, you know, Paris or Hong Kong or Tokyo. And there's some great examples. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, one of the ones that comes to mind is in the Outback region that I've been working with, they're thinking about themselves as a global tourism, you know, destination. And I think that's fantastic when, you know, we live in an age where it's more about the experience and people want genuine and authentic experience. But on the other hand, they're looking at renewable energy, and they're chasing some pretty, you know, big investment in that space. And they're also positioning themselves, for drones and for, because they've got all this wide open space. And so to do drone testing and pilots and, you know, getting all the kind of the regulations and all that. And I just think that that's a really great example of, you know, how we can think outside of the boundaries of our metropolitan areas and this great, you know, nation that we have, and bring everybody on the journey.
Yeah, definitely. So second last question, which is, what are the emerging trends that you think aren't being talked about enough?
One that really comes to mind, particularly, I guess, in the technology space, and given our recent visit to Tokyo and, you know, seeing what NEC and Fujitsu and, you know, some of the biggest tech manufacturing and most innovative companies in the world, where they're leading with their facial recognition and their gaze. What was that called, Zoe? Their gaze.
Yeah, where people are looking, kind of.
Yeah, for your listeners, that, you know, they had this demonstration that they showed us, but, you know, there's a group of 20 of us standing in the room, and they could basically sense through this technology where each of us was looking at the screen, and then based on kind of where the majority was looking, you know, a certain type of advertising would then start to display, or you know, information.
Yeah, it would change the advertising based on.
Yeah, and it was also based on our demographics. So it was, you know, they could sense our age, our potential skin color. I think the important thing around that, and that when you talk about trends that people aren't talking about, I know people are talking about it, but I just don't think that we really are advanced enough in the conversation, is what does that mean for individual privacy? We've seen it in the Cambridge Analytica, but I think for most people on the street, they sort of, you know, blink twice, read the news, and kind of click next on Facebook. What does that mean for what we as consumers, we as citizens are, you know, getting access to based on the algorithms, the biases, the, you know, all those kind of things that are kind of a little bit beyond the everyday citizens' reach and touch in terms of understanding what technology is being used to influence what they see, how they behave, or, you know, how they're, I guess, influenced to try and behave and act. And we need a lot more transparency around that, I think. And we need to build capacity, both in our younger generation, around what that means for individuals, what that means for government, and again, also what that means for the private sector.
Yeah, definitely. So it's been awesome chat with you. I only have one last question, which is, how can people connect with you?
It has been fabulous chatting to you too. Thank you so much, Zoe, for having me.
We finally got there.
We did. Look, we did.
Yep.
Assistance. Yep. You know, you're jetting all over the world. I'm kind of doing a little bit the same here and there between, you know, Barcaldine and in Tokyo. There's never a dull day. But you can find me on Twitter, Bronwyn Voice. I have a professional Facebook page. I'm also on LinkedIn. Or you can drop me a line. My email is bronwyn@bronwynvoice.com.au.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for talking with me tonight. And, I really look forward to our future conversations, because I know we will have a few of those.
Absolutely. Me too. Thank you so much, Zoe. It's been a pleasure.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye now.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook @smartcitypod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.